feeling a scratch down one side of it before he realized that the demon was not there, that he was safe in his bed in the land he called home, surrounded by his friends. Friends. What did that word mean? What could they know of his torment? How could they help him chase away the enduring nightmare that was Ertu? The haunted man did not sleep the rest of the night. And when Drizzt came to rouse him, well before the dawn, the dark elf found Wulfgar already dressed for the road. They were to leave this day, all five, bearing the artifact Crenshinabon far, far to the south and west. They were bound for Caradhun, on the banks of Impresque Lake, and then into the Snowflake Mountains to a great monastery called Spirit Soaring, where a priest named Catterly would destroy the wicked relic. Crenshinabon. Drizzt had it with him when he came to get Wulfgar that morning. The drow didn't wear it openly, but Wulfgar knew it was there. He could sense it, could feel its vile presence, for Crenshinabon remained linked to its last master, the demon Ertu. It tingled with the energy of the demon, and because Drizzt had it on him and was standing so close, Ertu too remained close to Wulfgar. "A fine day for the road," the drow remarked lightheartedly. But his tone was strained, condescending, Wulfgar noted. With more than a little difficulty, Wulfgar resisted the urge to punch Drizzt in the face. Instead, he grunted in reply and strode past the deceptively small dark elf. Drizzt was but a few inches over 5 feet, while Wulfgar towered closer to 7 feet than to 6 and carried fully twice the weight of the drow. The barbarian's thigh was thicker than Drizzt's waist, and yet, if it came to blows between them, wise betters would favor the drow. "I have not yet wakened Catti Bree," Drizzt explained. Wulfgar turned fast at the mention of the name. He stared hard into the drow's lavender eyes, his own blue orbs matching the intensity that always seemed to be there. "But Regis is already awake and at his morning meal. He is hoping to get 2 or 3 breakfasts in before we leave, no doubt," Drizzt added with a chuckle, one that Wulfgar did not share. "And Brunner will meet us on the field beyond Bryn Shander's eastern gate. He is with his own folk, preparing the priestess Stumpet to lead the clan in his absence." Wulfgar only half heard the words. They meant nothing to him. All the world meant nothing to him. "Shall we rouse Catti Bree?" the drow asked.
"I will," Wulfgar answered gruffly. "You see to Regis. If he gets a belly full of food, he will surely slow us down, and I mean to be quick to your friend Catterly, that we might be rid of Crenshinabon."
Drizzt started to answer, but Wulfgar turned away, moving down the hall to Catti Bree's door. He gave a single thunderous knock, then pushed right through. Drizzt moved a step in that direction to scold the barbarian for his rude behavior. The woman had not even acknowledged his knock, after all. But he let it go. Of all the humans the drow had ever met, Catti Bree ranked as the most capable at defending herself from insult or violence. Besides, Drizzt knew that his desire to go and scold Wulfgar was wrought more than a bit by his jealousy of the man who once was, and perhaps was soon again, to be Catti Bree's husband. The drow stroked a hand over his handsome face and turned to find Regis. Wearing only a slight undergarment and with her pants half pulled up, the startled Catti Bree turned a surprised look on Wulfgar as he strode into her room.
"He might have waited for an answer," she said dryly, brushing away her embarrassment and pulling her pants up, then going to retrieve her tunic.
Wulfgar nodded and held up his hands, only half an apology perhaps, but a half more.